Welcome to the September 16th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, and the sermon is entitled, Sowing to the Spirit, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
We are coming together today to open God's Word. I am so glad you're here. I pray you have God's Word with you. If you do not, there is a copy of the Bible right in front of you in that pew. But we're going to look at Galatians chapter 6. So take that Bible, open it with me to Galatians chapter 6. And I want to say thank you. You have hung with me well as we have studied through this very challenging epistle of God's Word. And I have been a renewed student of the Word as God has pushed me through this study. It has been amazingly deep. I've learned so much in my study through the book of Galatians. I think you understand now, if you have been with me in this study, how important it is to know the history or the backstory of a biblical word, where it comes from, what the historical setting is, what the church is going through, what that person is going through as the Word of God comes to us. It is the inspired, inerrant Word of God poured through a human vessel. And today, I'm so grateful for what we know about Galatians. You have to understand, if you're going to understand Galatians, you have to understand the backstory of Galatians. Paul is writing in love to a young church. In fact, it's not just one church, it's many churches in the province of Galatia. He had established those churches as a pioneer missionary. He saw people saved, coming to Jesus as Lord and Savior. He took those people in a geographical area, and he established a baby church with baby Christians throughout the province of Galatia. However, after Paul was off of that field and moving on into his ministry as a missionary, false teachers moved into the Galatian churches. They were called Judaizers. And they led the churches into lies. They took them away from the truth of the freedom of Jesus Christ and led the churches into the lie that you have to go back to live in the bondage of the Old Testament law and then you may come to Christ as Savior. You have to continue to sacrifice animals. You have to continue to observe the dietary rules. Men, you have to continue in the law of circumcision. Then you may come to Christ as Lord and Savior. So the Judaizers moved into the Galatian churches and dragged them backward, took them out of freedom and put them back into prison. And so as Paul writes this letter, if you truly read this letter, especially the beginning of it, you will see a tinge of anger. You will see his disappointment that these churches have gotten so far off the rails, that they're off the track in what it means to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So he wants to pull them back into the freedom of Christ. Today I'm going to preach the 19th, next to the last sermon in a sermon series of 20 sermons through the book of Galatians. Paul is giving his closing words. What we study today is absolutely practical. It is absolutely needed in your life and mine as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is needed within the church. If we're going to continue in ministry to bring a lost world to Jesus as Lord and Savior, we need this passage of Scripture. So we're going to study it today in Galatians chapter 6. I want you to look with me at verses 6 through 10. Again, this is the mindset of the Christian believer. So hear these words. Galatians 6, begin with verse 6. In God's Word, as Paul wrote it to the Galatian churches, he says this: Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. May God add his blessing to the reading of these very few simple words inspired by the Lord, poured through the pen of St. Paul. Now I want you to look back again at verse 6. In the King James Version, basically Paul is saying, let the Christian student communicate good things to the teacher of the Word of God. Let the student communicate good things to the teacher of the Word of God. Many other versions say, let the student share all good things with the teacher of the Word. Those versions would be the Today's English Version, New International Version, Revised Standard Version. So it says, share, let the student share good things with the teacher of the word. Now, the Greek word for communicate or share that we see in the versions of the Bible that we're reading is a familiar word to many of you if you've studied anything of basic Greek. The word is koinonia. It's a form of the word koinonia, which means to share. And here the word koinonia means the student of God's word should share material support to the teacher of God's word. As the teacher shares the spiritual blessing of instructing the student in the Word of God, the student is to share material blessing to the teacher of God's Word. Can I just put it in plain old vernacular English? You're supposed to pay the preacher. All those words say that. Church, pay the preacher. Jesus says the very same thing in Luke chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. A good teacher is worthy of support from the body of the church. Now, let me stop right here before I take one more step forward in this sermon, because I want to say this to you, Clifford Baptist Church. For 36 plus years, you have been more than fair and more than generous and more than loving to this teacher of God's word. And I thank you for that. Gwen thanks you for that. My family thanks you for the way that you have supported me as your pastor here. And I thank, I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of all of our staff. Thank you for the way that you support us, the way that you love us, the way that you are so generous with us. I have always, always, without exception, been treated with kindness and respect and generosity from the Church of Jesus Christ in this place. And I'm eternally grateful for this body of believers. You have done so much to bring change that's so good to my family's life. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for that. So this in no way is asking for anything. I'm just telling you what the Word says. Okay, let's move along. Paul now states a great principle of truth. And we see this truth stated in Luke chapter 8. We see this truth in Jesus' parable of the seed and the sower. We also see this truth that's stated in Isaiah 55. We also see this truth stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But I want you to listen to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. If there's a verse to underline, put a star by, this is one of those verses, because it's stated over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament. This is a truth and a principle of God's Word. Verse 7 says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." What you put into something is what you're going to get out of something. So let's take a worldly example of that. Let's take the example of the farmer. A farmer invests in a purchase of seed. And the farmer takes that seed. Ideally, he plants the seed. That seed will grow up and yield a crop. He will harvest the crop. He will take the crop to market and therefore make a profit. He will invest and plant, and he will also reap and profit. The harvest is going to be a blessing to him. So the small seed that the farmer plants in the ground has the potential of a great harvest, a great profit. Now, if the farmer is wise, he's going to make a couple very important decisions. Number one, the farmer is going to decide the good growing season for that particular seed. You know, around here, you don't plant a garden in December. If you do, the seed will not survive the harshness of the winter. Also, not only do you choose where you're going to plant the seed, or when you plant, but also where you plant. You don't plant the seed just anywhere. You don't throw the seed on a driveway, although I have more grass in my driveway than my yard in some places. And you don't throw the seed on a hard path that's passed over and over again. The seed will not survive. The seed will not grow there. So you choose when you plant, and you also choose where you plant if you are a wise farmer. If you want a crop, you put the seed in the proper conditions to produce a crop. So choose a good growing season, the when. Choose a good place for the seed, the where. And then also there's a third important point. Once the farmer plants the seed, he will not change the crop that's coming. You're not going to plant the seed of corn and expect to get a wheat harvest. You're going to harvest exactly that which you plant. The seed you plant is what you're going to reap. So the when, the where, and what you plant brings us profit. The harvest is always in accordance to what you plant. Now, let's look at this principle in a spiritual sense as Paul is intending it here. God gives you and me material possessions. God entrusts you and me a certain amount of money in our lives, and we're to use that as seed. Now, you can plant your seed of your material possessions and my material possessions in two potential places. First, God gives you and me our money, our material possessions, so that we can sow in the soil of the flesh. And then the wise believer will also sow in the soil of the Spirit. Two different soils, and both of them are needed. Now, Christians, listen to this. You and I must sow in both of those fields, the soil of the flesh and also the soil of the Spirit. We're going to sow in those two particular places. We need to. We have to. Yes, we do sow our seed, our money, our material possessions in the soil of the flesh, in worldly things. We need to. We have savings accounts. Right now, I'm looking really hard at a retirement account. Is there going to be enough to sustain Gwen and me over the long term of life? We sow our seed in groceries. We sow our seed in paying our electric bill. We sow our seed in the flesh, paying our taxes. All of those things are absolutely necessary to the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to maintain a high honor in this world as we sow to the flesh. Pay your bills, ladies and gentlemen. Don't smudge the name of Christ by being lax on paying your bills. We always sow to the flesh, and we are supposed to do so honorably. Spending our possessions is a way of a necessity of life, sowing to the world, sowing to the flesh. But listen, we cannot neglect to sow a good portion of our possessions in the soil of the Spirit. We need to sow to the Spirit as well. We need to give to church. We need to give to ministry. We need to give to missions. We need to give to outreach. We need to support those who are in the world sowing the seed of Jesus Christ in the world. We need to give so we can help the needy, we can help the hungry, we can help the naked. Never, never, never shortchange the Lord in His share of your seed. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't shortchange the Lord as you sow to the Spirit as He will use it. And here is why. Our seed that is sown in the world, our seed that's sown to possessions and bank accounts and retirement accounts and bills, sooner or later, that seed is going to be sown and gone. It will not come back to us. It will be gone. Even if you pass millions of dollars down the line to your family, eventually it will be gone. It will not last forever. Sowing to the flesh, sowing to the world is not permanent. It's not going to last forever. But every penny we sow to the Spirit is used by God to impact eternity. Do I hear an amen? Every penny we sow to the Spirit affects eternity. You know, the song that came out years ago, and the first time I heard it, I truly wept when I heard the verses of this song. The song is called Thank You. It describes how God blesses our giving. And the scene of the song is that we find out how God uses our sowing to the Spirit when we get to heaven. We won't learn all of how we've sown to the Spirit in this lifetime. We will learn the impact of how God used every penny that we entrusted to Him when we stand with Him in heaven. That's the crux of this song. So a new believer has just arrived in heaven, and he is learning how God has blessed and used his sowing to the Spirit as he's gotten there. So God kind of rolls back the tape of history and shows this new believer who's just gotten to heaven how he used his material giving, how he used his sowing to the Spirit. And one verse of the song says this: remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Support a missionary who takes the word of God to another country, another place, and brings its soul to Christ. Your support will be recognized in heaven. I love what that says. No penny will be wasted in the ministry of God. Now look at verse 8, Galatians 6, 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What we give to the world has a very temporary impact, but what we give to the Lord is used to impact eternity. Forever it will make a difference. Go back to verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So Paul is saying here, don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Don't believe that when you're investing in all of these things in the world and all of these things in the flesh that you're making a lot of progress, because you're not. Sooner or later, all of that's going to be gone. All of that will be history. All of that will be erased. Don't be mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not going to be made fun of here. Paul says, I want you to think about the truth. In the realm of possessions, in the realm of our money, in the realm of our support, if we keep the lion's share for ourselves, if we simply throw God a crumb, a pittance, a little bone every now and then, if God gets just a few pennies compared to our many dollars, be not deceived. You're wasting what he's given you. You're wasting the support that he's given to you freely. Remember this, it is the Bible's word. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Tossing a few pennies to the Lord will bring a very small harvest to you and to me. But if we give proportionately out of our possessions, and you know the Bible's word about giving proportionately, it's the word tithe. If we tithe out of our possessions, sowing into the work of God, we will be overly, abundantly blessed now and forever by what we give to him, what we entrust to him. Listen, here's another biblical principle. You nor I can outgive God. You nor I can outgive God. He is the great giver. He is the great provider. We will never outgive him. We will never be more generous than him. You can't outgive a loving God. How grateful we are to know that indeed the Lord responds to generous giving. You see, underneath the biblical principle is a truth about the very personality and character of God. Just watch, he says, how I will bless you if you'll be faithful to me in this realm of your life. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Write it down. Turn with me if you want. The last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God's word says this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Through the prophet Malachi, God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The word of God. You be faithful to me and watch how I will bless you. But I want you to notice the progression of that verse. God says, entrust your giving to me. Plant your material seed. Sow it to the Spirit. And watch how I open the windows of heaven and how I pour out upon you blessings that you cannot contain. Now, that doesn't mean you walk to your mailbox and look for a check every day. But you and I are blessed people. The fact that we're here, that we woke up this morning, that our heart is beating, that we are breathing, that we're in church today is a blessing of God. Amen? He pours upon us blessings that we don't even think about, that we don't even recognize. He is opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessings upon us that we cannot even imagine, much less contain. So the progression of the verse is, you take the step of giving to me and watch how I in turn bless you. You take the first step, God says. You take the first step and watch what I do. So that means there's a step of faith. There's a step that you and I have to take, that in faith we give, that in faith we sow to the Spirit, that in faith we give material support. Now, may our mindset always be to do what God wants us to do. I want you to look at verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't be weary in well-doing. In other words, don't ever get tired of helping somebody else. Never get weary of helping someone else. Don't tire of doing good for others. Now the world says, well, sure, that's right. I will be good to the people who will be good to me. God says, no, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you to be good to all people. I'm telling you to be good even to your enemy. We see that in the Sermon on the Mount. Be good to your enemy, even. Take care of all people. Give to everyone. Be good to everyone because God is good to everyone. And I want you to emulate me. Do good. Never grow weary of doing good to other people. Look at verse 10, that last verse I read today. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Paul says, you are good to everybody. Take care of everybody, but especially take care of your brothers and sisters in the church. Take care of those who have need in your church body. I want you to know that we do that. The great majority of the church does not know how we do that because it's a very private matter, and we protect the dignity and the privacy of every individual within the church family. But I want you to know this, and the staff will stand with me in this, that when we get a call, especially from a church member, we help our church. And you make that possible. You're the one who gives us the wherewithal that we are able to pay electric bills. We're able to provide food. We're able to provide a heat source for individuals within the church as well as outside of the church. 99% of you do not know how that happens in the church, but I promise you and I assure you that it happens just about every week. You are helping somebody, and you don't know it, but it absolutely is true. We're taking care of the body of Christ. We're taking care of people outside of the church as best we can. But as I draw the sermon to a close today, I want to make this very clear to you. I am not preaching about money today. I'm preaching about faithfulness today. I'm preaching about what does God expect you to do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful in this material realm of your life. Sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. Are you faithful in sowing to the Spirit? I am not in any way, shape, or form begging you to give more money to the church. That is not the intent of this sermon whatsoever. It is not my job to beg you for more money to give to the church. But rather, my job is to give you the Word of God, which says, be faithful in this realm. Be faithful because God is faithful to bless us in it. If we're faithful to Him, we will reap because we have sown. He will be faithful to us. We're not going to pass the collection plates today. One more time. That's done and over. Squeezing money out of you is not my job, and it never will be. But my only responsibility as I stand with this passage of Scripture is really to say, are we faithful in the way that we sow to the Spirit in our material possessions? I have no right to examine what you do, and I have no idea what you do. The only responsibility I have is what Gwen Fitzgerald and I do in this realm. But I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Be faithful to our God in the way you give. My pastor's responsibility is to teach you this. What is your attitude, and what is my attitude toward our material possessions? Do we rule them? Or do they rule us? In your financial world, is God getting from you and me what he deserves, what he asks? Are you sowing to the Spirit so God can use your gifts for eternal benefit? You know, I truly believe this from what I read in the Bible. One day in heaven, I do believe God is going to show us our harvest. We will not know our complete harvest on this side. But I believe that God will see fit to show us our harvest one day. God forbid that our field is empty. I pray that we see a great harvest of souls, a great harvest of good, in the way that in this era of Clifford Baptist Church and in your life and mine, that we have made an eternal difference and impact in this world, in the lives of people. That's what it's about. It's not about money. It's about lives. People being saved, people being helped, people being brought to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Everything the church does, every act of love and ministry is directed to one solitary purpose, and that is to bring the lost to Jesus. And we're to support that ministry. And God will bless us with every penny that we do to give, and every act of ministry that we produce, he will bless us in that. So today, the simple request is, Lord, we pray together that you will use our blessing to the world. And we pledge together that we will be faithful to you in the way we give. Simple as that. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Galatia. Be faithful. And when you're faithful, you'll be amazed at how God's faithfulness will be poured back upon you, because you will reap what you have sown. Today, the greatest contribution I can make to eternity is right now, right here. And maybe there's someone here who needs to hear this, or maybe there's someone who is going to be listening to a radio or listening to this sermon on a computer, and one day you need to hear this. Here it is. My greatest contribution to eternity is right now, this second, if you've never come to Jesus as your Savior. If you've never said yes to him, if you've never said, Lord, I believe that you went to the cross for me. I believe that you poured out your blood. You shed your blood for me because I am a sinner. And I am sorry, Lord, for what I've done against you. I'm sorry for every single sin, the ones that I've known about, even the ones that I don't recognize. I'm sorry for every single sin. But, Lord, I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, the perfect Lamb of God, he died to forgive me of every single one of those sins, of the past and the present and the future. Jesus died to forgive me. And on the third day, Jesus rose from his own grave to promise me eternal life when I know him as my Savior. So, Lord Jesus, today, I want to accept you as my Savior. I want to fall before you and say, Lord, thank you that you went to the cross for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you're risen again for me. I want to belong to you. Today, if you've never made that decision, you've never made it public, this is the moment that you can come and say, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior. And eternity will change for you in this millisecond when you say yes. Church home, whatever your need, that Savior meets us here. Let's pray together. Now, Father, today, thank you for this sermon. I just need to qualify it one more time. This sermon's not about money. This sermon is about faithfulness in this realm of our life. And I thank you for the promises, Lord. You are a God who never breaks a promise. And one of your promises is this: if you will sow your ministry and your material possessions in the soil of the Spirit, not only will I bless you, but one day you will see the eternal impact that you made in the world. Life is not all about retirement accounts and savings accounts, but it's about giving to you. All I pray today, Father, is that you will help us to be faithful, that we will pledge to you our love, our ministry, our energy, our possessions, all about us, Lord, we want to give to you. Bless us in this moment, Father, that we simply say, Lord, I want to grow in being faithful to you as your son or your daughter in every realm of my life. And I believe what you tell me, Lord, many times in the Bible, I will reap what I have sown to you. Bless my life, Lord. Bless this church. Bless us as we strive to reach a world for Jesus Christ. Use us, we pray, as an instrument in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.